The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, guys, so a lot of people ask us, how do they make a podcast? So I'm going to let you in on a secret. On the easiest, most productive way to start a podcast and get it up and running, and that is the app called Anchor. It's free. They have all kind of cool creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. They will distribute your podcast for you to all of the major outlets, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple, easy place. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's do it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
We're going to talk about something that we don't have to look too far to find an expert for, and that is life insurance. We recently posted that Sears had canceled 90,000 life insurance policies for its employees. And it begs the question, like, should people be going through their jobs to gain life insurance? Over the past, 20 to 30 years, America has kind of switched. Like 108 million people have gone through the group route, while 102 million people have gone through the private method of getting life insurance, which is like the first time that that's happened in history. So we have our own expert. In 2000, give me, if I'm wrong with the year, 2006?
I think 2007.
I sat down with a financial planner who's starting in the business. He needed a client, and he looked across and he said, "Yo, Troy, you gotta get life insurance." Now at 25, I'm thinking, "Come on, man, why do I need life insurance?" And then we had a deeper conversation. I'm like, "Oh, Rashad, he's pretty serious about this." So we went through the process, and I got life insurance. And maybe you could talk to people why it's so valuable and so desperately important, and how we've seen some cases where people didn't have life insurance and the outcome of what it left their family with, right? Because it's not really for the people who die, it's for the people who remain living, right? So, yeah, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Yes. So, for anybody that's not familiar, I'm a financial advisor. That's what I do for a living, right? So, I started, 11 years ago, around that time frame. And yes, my first week in the business, my first client was Troy.
Yes, surely.
And yes, I sold him a life insurance policy. That was my, and then 11 years later,
still got it.
He's still a client of mine.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I do a few different things. You know, I help people invest money, retirement, and life insurance is one of the things that I do as well. So before I start, I'm not taking a side on any policy. Life insurance is very debatable people have, they're very passionate about this, I've noticed online. You have very strong opinions.
Right.
So I'm not here to tell you which is the best policy, what you should do. Just provide information. You can make your own decisions for yourself, right? But it is interesting that Sears canceled 90,000 policies for retirees because it does highlight something that is important is, you know, a lot of times people have insurance at their job and they think that that's sufficient, right? Like most things when it comes to finance, people aren't properly educated a lot of times, right? So they don't really fully understand life insurance or even why it's important, how to get it, you know. They don't really know. So they just say, okay, I have it at my job and whatever. It is what it is, right? So now it's to say, okay, which is better? The insurance at your job or the insurance that you can get privately through an institution or a company, right? I always recommend both, right? Because the insurance at your job, the good thing about that is that it's usually very low as far as premiums are concerned. Or sometimes it's even free. So it's not really costing you anything. So it's always good to have, right? But the problem with having it as your only type of insurance is what we just saw, right? Is that a lot of times it's not portable, meaning that you can't take it with you when you retire. Or if you can take it with you, then the premium may go up because now you're no longer part of that group. It's like health insurance, right? Like if you leave your job, now you can still keep your health insurance for a certain amount of time, but you're on what's called COBRA, right? So now your health insurance premiums go up. So sometimes the life insurance is the same. Well, even if the life insurance premiums stay the same, it's still subject to the company, you know, they can change it. So just like what Sarah did, right?
Right.
So, okay. First of all, we need to talk about and understand why life insurance is important, right?
Yeah.
So it's important for a few different reasons, but the main reason obviously is that you want to provide a certain level of comfort and you want to leave a legacy and you want to be able to take care of your financial responsibilities when you're no longer here. I always say all the time, it's nobody's responsibility to take care of your family except for you, right? Yeah. And that's men or women, right? Because we live in a society where men and women work, and a lot of times women make more money than the men, right? Mm-hmm. They're the breadwinners in the home.
Yeah.
Or they may be single parents on both sides. Or even if you don't have a children, you still have responsibilities, right? So I equate... You know, it's unfortunate a lot of times, especially in our community, when somebody passes away and other people have to raise money for them, right? Like GoFundMe pages and things like that.
We've seen that.
That would be kind of like, and this is no shame on anybody because you have to do what you have to do, but I'm just saying as far as that person didn't plan properly, right?
Yeah.
That would be the equivalent of somebody coming into your home and having to pay your bills for you, right? It's your responsibility to take care of that, right? So that's what life insurance does, right? It allows your family to go on and to take care of your responsibility when you pass, as far as just the basics of burying yourself, but also, you know, putting your kids in school and making sure that they have clothes to wear and that they can go to college and things of that nature, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's important that we start to think long term too, because when we talk about generational wealth, that's like a real popular term, but what does that really mean, right? That means that you want to create wealth for generations.
Right.
So one of the easiest ways to create wealth for generations is to have a life insurance policy, right? Because what you're doing is actually buying money, right? So that's one of the most efficient, one of the easiest ways to create generational wealth, because it's a trendy term, but the average person doesn't have a multi-million dollar business that they can leave. The average person doesn't have $5 million in a bank that they can leave, right? The average person might not even have a home. They might not even own a home. But you can own an insurance policy. You can have $100,000, half a million, $1 million. That's realistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that can actually be obtained in real life, not just a catchy phrase.
So at 25, when you told me that, and I was, in my mind, I'm not even thinking about life insurance. But when I saw how serious you were about it, I'm like, wait, this makes perfect sense. I mean, you detailed it just like how you did now, straight for me. And I was like, wow, I have to get this as early as possible.
And you planned for the future because when you bought the insurance, you were single.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But now you have a family, you have kids, you have a wife, you have a home. So now you really need it, right?
It makes more sense. I'm like, wow, I've had, that's a good thing I've had this for 11 years now, right? Like, it meant so much.
Yeah.
I just want to go back because you said the premium is so low when you do it at your job. One of the things that studies have shown is that the assurance amounts are a lot lower when you do it with a group. So it ranges from $25,000 policy to a maybe a $50,000 policy, whereas that might not even cover what you need as far as your financial responsibilities in the event that something happens to you. So, right. Like, you want to talk about the difference in the amounts?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the amount, but first I want to actually just talk about the different types of policies. Okay. Right? There's different types of policies. So, there's really a few different types of policies, but it comes down to two. Term policies and a permanent policy, right? And there's different types of permanent policies, but a term policy is a policy that lasts a term, right? So, like, okay. 10, 15, 20-year term, right? So, you have life. This is what most people think about when they think about life insurance. It's the most basic form of insurance. Where you have an insurance policy, you pay a premium, and if you die, somebody gets money. So it's a term. So let's say it's a 20-year term, right? So you're paying a premium for 20 years. If you die before that 20-year mark is up, mm-hmm. then your family gets money. If you outlive that term, now you can reapply for the insurance anymore. You can let it last. You don't have it anymore. But it's just a certain period of time. Like, mm-hmm. that's a term. And then most group insurances, if it's your job, it's for as long as you work at that job. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it could be extended in retirement. But so that's one form of it, where it's just a premium, a death benefit, and that's it.
Okay.
The flip side to that coin is what's called permanent insurance, right? So permanent insurance, most of the time, is most commonly known as what's called whole life insurance. There are different types of permanent, but we'll just keep it basic. Whole life insurance, right? Whole life insurance lasts your whole life. You pay a premium, you have a death benefit, but it also builds what's called cash value. Yeah. Cash value is money that grows inside of the life insurance policy, right? And the money that grows inside of the life insurance policy, now you can use down the line. And you can borrow from the policy right now. That's right. That's a benefit that you can use while you're alive. So, right.
And that's good for people who say, well, some people don't really care what they leave for their family or, you know, whoever else. If they're single, they have no wife or anything.
Right, because now you're actually saving money as well. So it's a double-edged sword, right? So now some people say, okay, well, only buy term insurance, don't buy whole life insurance. Or some people say only buy whole life insurance, don't buy term insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm of the mindset that no shoe is ever going to fit all foot, right? So you have to, you know, see what's best for you and your family, mm-hmm. because they both have advantages and they both can be beneficial, mm-hmm. and they both have things that may not be attractive, right? So, but one thing that I want to keep in mind for our listeners is that one of the big things why people say buy term and don't buy whole life is that it's what's called buy term and invest the difference. Whereas they're saying that, well, whole life isn't a good investment because if you invested your money in stock or an investment, it would earn more than mm-hmm. the rate of return that it would get in a whole life policy. That's okay. true. Mm-hmm. But it's not an investment. It's life insurance, right? So it's like it's an apples to oranges. Right. It's an apples to oranges comparison.
Right.
So you can do both. You don't have to do one or the other, right? Like, you can have an investment where you're actually growing money. You can have a life insurance policy where it's a permanent policy, because the thing about the life insurance also is that hopefully you don't die in 20 years.
Right.
Nobody wants that. I mean, you have term insurance. Most of the term policies don't pay out because most of the time people don't die within their term.
Right.
So if I have a 20-year term policy, I don't want to die in 20 years. So, it's good to have just in case. Mm-hmm. But the whole life, everybody's going to die eventually.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether I'm 90 or 100 years old, I can still leave a legacy for my family.
Right.
So these are things that, you know, people have to understand. And a lot of times in our community, it's unfortunate, especially, we talk about like Aretha Franklin, right? She passed away last year,
right.
And her estate, it was a mess because mm-hmm. she never planned for her estate. Right. And one of the things, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that she said that she never really wanted to do estate planning because she didn't want to jinx herself. And it's like, you're going to die. It's not.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, nobody. Look, newsflash.
Right.
You're not. It's going to happen, right? So either you plan for it or you don't plan for it, but it's going to happen either way, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just want to take a couple of minutes. We talk about estate planning because part of it is on the financial side, like life insurance, stuff like that. But also it's very important to plan on the legal side as well, right?
Right.
So like a will.
Right.
So you're a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a will? And why should people have a will? Because I think that everybody should have a will. Because a lot of times people have the misconception that if they're not rich, they're not wealthy, they don't need to have a will. Or they can wait to have a will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody should have a will. And a will can be revised as time goes along.
Absolutely.
So can you just briefly talk about what a will is?
Yeah. So basically a will is just like a plan for what's going to happen when you pass away. So you're basically going to say, for all the stuff that I own that's of value, I want it to be given out according to this, in this manner. And if you have small children, which is really, really important. If you have small children, to have a will, you're going to dictate who's going to take care of your child. Because if you pass away and you don't have anyone in place to take care of your child, like a godparent is not a legal guardian. So right. Some of us, you appoint a godparent and you say this person, but that's not good enough, you know, basically. So a will is a legal document that as long as it's executed, like signed in the proper manner, is going to basically be able to say, this is what this person wanted, you know, when they passed away with their stuff.
Okay. And mm-hmm. also, I think it's important to have a living will, mm-hmm. right? So a living will, from my understanding, is that you have a healthcare proxy mm-hmm. and you have the power of attorney.
Yes.
Right. So can you just briefly talk about that both
sure,
of those?
Sure. So the healthcare proxy, basically, if you get sick and you're in the hospital, your loved ones would not be able to make medical decisions for you, right? So the hospital is not going to really take their word for it. And it's also difficult, even if you're a spouse, you may not be able to dictate what happens to that person or how the hospital takes care of her, him or her. And so the healthcare proxy will say, you know, if I'm sick, I want this person to make the decision and I want them to be able to do these particular things. And a living will kind of goes even further into that. It gives like details of like treatment, like say, God forbid you have cancer. It will say like, you know, I don't want chemo or, you know, whatever the case is. It'll you can detail exactly what type of treatments that you have and give direction to the person who you gave the healthcare proxy to. So they have some understanding on how to act on your behalf.
Okay. And then mm-hmm. the power of attorney.
So a power of attorney is also extremely important because if you're incapacitated, like you're still alive, but you can't make decisions for yourself, the power of attorney is going to allow you to appoint somebody to take care of all your finances, your insurance, your bank accounts, your homes, your real estate, taxes, anything. And if you're taking care of somebody, it'll allow that person who has your power of attorney to continue giving like customary gifts that you normally give to somebody or that you're taking care of somebody. So they can handle all those things to make sure that your affairs are in order. And so like sometimes people go, God forbid, into a coma, but they come out, you know, you're not necessarily going to die, but you can't make decisions or you're just sick. So that kind of covers that.
No, it's extremely important. And just mm-hmm. I'll take a minute just to tell a personal story. So my grandmother, she had 12 kids, right?
Okay.
So she had Alzheimer's disease. So when she was in the last stages of her life and she was in a coma and she was in the hospital. So mm-hmm. long story short, half of her kids wanted to keep her alive.
Okay.
The other half of the kids were like, this isn't a quality of life. Like, right. We need to pull the plug. Yeah. Now they're fighting with each other. Who really knows what she wanted, right?
Right.
But if she would have done that and written it out, like, look, don't keep me alive. Like, you know, right, or right. keep me alive. It wouldn't be an argument. So regardless right. of how you feel, you can't make a decision because it's already put in place.
Right.
This is just, and also she owned a home and once again, she didn't have a will, mm-hmm. right? So now you have 12 kids that have different ideas of what they want to do with the home.
Right.
Some want to rent it out. Some want to sell it. So now it just causes fights.
Mm-hmm.
You break up families. Brothers and sisters stop speaking to each other. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's pretty,
right.
common, right?
Right. Yeah.
So this is an unfortunate situation, and this is something that we have to plan for. So thank you
for
coming
you.
And,
sure, for sure.
And giving your expertise, because like I said, it's important, especially in our communities where we don't know a lot of this stuff.
And right? it's not a conversation we're having.
No, we're not.
Right.
So it's like, hopefully like this conversation here opens eyes like, hey, this is something we should plan for. Because like what you said, nobody is planning, to die.
Right.
But we should, right? Because like
should.
We said, it's not for the people who live, it's for the people, for the people who die, it's for the people who live on with our legacy.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop, mic drop, bag drop.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.